The Bible says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee, thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." I want to revisit our theme of joy this morning. As most of you know, there's a wood plaque behind me above the baptistry where we post a theme that's kind of a recurring theme each year. And we try to touch on that so that by the end of the year we've learned a lot about that subject as well as many, many other things. There are many spiritual exercises and disciplines that if you participate in them, and not just know about them, it will give you joy. There is way too much depression today in the world and in the church. It seems to me like the pastors that I meet are always counseling people about their depression. And I think that this depression in some people is caused by perhaps not knowing that there is joy available to them that can help them come out of depression. I think every human being has depression at times. Sometimes you just wake up that way. You just don't feel good. As soon as you wake up out of bed, it's not that you did anything wrong or anything. But those seasons of depression ought not to last long for the believer in Jesus Christ, because there are so many things we can do that will give us joy. So far, I've covered about 11 of them this year that can bring you joy. Number one is salvation. We talked about the joy of our salvation earlier in the year in Psalm 51 and verse 12. Are you saved this morning? That ought to give you joy. And it ought to be a recurring joy. You know, if you went out and bought a brand new car today, that would give you joy. But about a year later, it wouldn't still be giving you joy. And 2 years later, it wouldn't be giving you joy. It'd be giving you troubles. And 3 years later, you'd be ready to trade it in. But unlike cars, when you receive salvation, that can keep giving you joy every day of your life to the end of your life. You can still be joying in the fact that you're not going to hell and you're not going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. And so that is a constant, perpetual source of joy to us, salvation. And then the presence of the Lord, not just being saved, but living in the presence of the Lord, as our text says, in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so if you will get into the presence of the Lord, that will bring you joy. And then number three, we talked about the Bible. Jesus said, these things have I written unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. He talked about how the Bible ought to be a constant treasure of joy to the person who opens it up every day and gets into the Bible. It ought to give you joy. And then we talked about prayer. Number four, Jesus said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Somebody was telling me this week about some answers to prayer that they had specifically this week, and how much, and they didn't say this, but I could see it on their face, how much joy it gave them that God answered their prayers. And then we talked about the winning of souls to Christ. Winning souls to Christ is a perpetual joy. You can win somebody to Christ. I was thinking yesterday about many people, I think about six people now that the Lord has allowed me to lead to Christ on their deathbed, who died within 24 hours after me sharing the gospel with them. And to be honest with you, I don't even know what their names are. I was just asked, would you go down and talk to so and so? He's dying, and so on and so forth. And I go in there, I talk to them. Over the years, I've forgotten their names, but it still gives me joy that I'll see them in heaven. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul was talking about the souls that he led to Christ. When you lead a soul to Christ, that's a perpetual source of joy, because if that person really got saved, they can't lose their salvation. They're going to be with the Lord forever in heaven. Those people out at the fair that you've led to Christ, who knows where they've gone or whatever, but if they meant it, if God gave them repentance and faith and they trusted Christ as their Savior, you'll see them again in heaven someday. And so soul winning is a source of joy. And then we talked about the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, thank you. Joy. As you commune and mature in your walk and your knowledge of the Holy Spirit, it will be constant joy. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy, it says, in the Holy Ghost. We talked about the church, Psalm 42 and verse 4. Fellowship with believers ought to be a perpetual source of joy, because we ought to be perpetually going to church. Amen? We ought never to give up or quit. We ought to just do it all of our life, even if we move out of town. I was talking to one of our families on the phone that moved out of town to another state this week, and how they found a church down there, and they found some brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're singing and praising the Lord, and it looks like many ministry opportunities are there for them to get involved in, and a fellowship ought to bring us joy. And then we talked about revival. Revival. You can have a revival this morning. You don't have to leave as dead as you came in. Some of you aren't dead. You're alive in the Spirit of God, but some of you have been living in sin all week. Temptation's got the best of you. You've been watching carnal TV shows and movies and so on and so forth, and you're not alive. But you can leave revived. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Revival. You can have a revival any day of your life if you want it. Just get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Fill me again afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, and God will bring you a revival. And then we talked about some other subjects that don't apply to all, but some other subject I've dealt with this year is motherhood. Psalm 113:9. Motherhood is supposed to bring a mother joy. Now the world's telling you, ladies, it's the worst thing that can ever happen to you. Just don't listen to the world. Listen to God. The fruit of the womb is His reward. It's a joy to have children. It's an eternal legacy. Your career won't be an eternal legacy. You leave that all behind when you die. But if you have children and you bring them up to know Christ and you have them be Christians, they'll continue to live and walk in the faith when you're gone. Fatherhood's supposed to be joy, Proverbs 23, verse 24. But then we talked in Proverbs 14 and verse 10 where it says, a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. And I hope that's not, I've given you probably 10 or 11 things right there that have given you, that God wants to give you joy. Now why is joy so important? Because the joy of the Lord is thy strength. And so the devil doesn't want you to intermeddle with your joy. And Proverbs 14:10 says, a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. A stranger is somebody who stays afar off. Like some of you stay afar off from us in the church. You don't want to be like us, heaven forbid. You don't ever want to be like us. And so you keep a distance away from really getting involved and really getting committed and so on and so forth. And you don't intermeddle with the church. Well, that's how some people are with their joy. I list all these things this year, and there's still some people living in depression. And if you put their life under a microscope, it's because they've done none of this. They've done none of this. These sources of joy that are there for them, they've done none of it. Well, some of you obviously are doing it because you're having joy. And you're finding fulfillment. Now, I want to talk about another subject for a little bit this morning. And I want to approach it kind of from a different way. And it's something that is really, really becoming a lost discipline in the church. And I'll explain what I mean by that. And that is the joy of singing. I want to talk to you today about the joy of singing. The good Lord wants us to sing. But there's too much fabricated music today. We are having music come to us from CDs and iPads and iTunes, and some people still have cassette players, and probably some still have phonographs and 8-track players, and some of you young people don't even know what that is, but radios and car radios and so on and so forth. We have all this fabricated music coming to us, but not much is coming out of us. And as a result, we have lost one of the sources of joy, and that is singing. Do you sing? Do you sing in the shower? Do you sing in the car? Do you sing on the job? Or has the devil taken the song out of your heart? 7 times it says in the Bible, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. 7 times. See, it's a commandment. A lot of times we do not look at singing as a commandment. We look at it as a calling that maybe a few people in the choir have. But we don't look at singing as a commandment. I submit to you, and this is my message, I submit to you that singing is as much of a commandment to the human race as prayer is. It's as much of a commandment in the Bible as Bible study is. It's as much as a commandment in the Bible as church attendance is, or giving is, or winning souls to Christ. It is not some option. It is a commandment over and over. We're told 102 times we see the word sing in the Bible. Song is mentioned 74 times. Singers, 36 times. Songs, 20 times. The phrase sing unto the Lord is found 16 times. And as I mentioned, make a joyful noise 7 times. These are commandments. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And I fear that Satan has fabricated so much music that we've got our radios on, our CD players on, our tape players on, our iPods on, and all of the music in our lives is fabricated by this group. Oh, they're my favorite music group. I don't have a favorite music group. I don't have a favorite singer. I am my favorite singer. Not because I can sing very well, but because I know when a song comes out of my heart to the Lord, there's something right going on in me. And there's not enough singing today. There is not enough singing today. And we are not obeying a commandment of the Lord that will bring us joy. Just like some don't pray, even though prayer will bring them joy. And some don't study the Bible. And studying the Bible, I believe that unless there's a serious chemical problem in your body, which is the exception, I believe it is God's will to deliver us from all depression. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And why then would all of this fabricated music be a cheap substitute for singing? I believe it's because the Lord, or because the devil doesn't want you to sing. Doesn't want you to sing from your heart to the Lord. He wants to rob you of joy so you don't have strength, so eventually you quit. So eventually you faint. Eventually you give up. We need to sing. Singing will bring us joy, but a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. I can't sing. Make that joyful noise that 7 times he commanded us unto the Lord. Some of you, it breaks my heart. I look out Sunday after Sunday after Sunday while the song's going out. You're not too cool to sing with us. You're too cold. You're too cold. You've been listening to Satan's music all week, watching his movies and TV shows. And you haven't got a song in your heart. You couldn't get one out if you tried. And that's not most of you, but that's some of you. You're not even strong enough spiritually to pick up a songbook and open the thing up. How sad. Our song should be about God. I want you to notice that God sings. Do you know that? God sings. I've never heard him, but I can't wait to. I've heard some beautiful music this side of heaven. Can you imagine when he sings for us? It says right there. And notice that singing brings God joy. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Amen. He will save. Amen. But notice this. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He loves his church. He loves his children. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. He will joy over thee with singing. Verse 14 tells us we should sing. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart. We're going to notice that word heart a couple times this morning. O daughter of Jerusalem. And it says, the Lord thy God, he will joy over thee with singing. Now, I suppose if singing gives joy to God, it might give it to us. Singing might give us joy. I'm not talking about listening to music. I'm not talking about watching the Gaithers. I'm talking about shutting that stuff off, not that there's nothing wrong, but getting a song out of your heart to God. It'll bring you joy. It'll bring you joy. And we're missing this today. We're missing this. Number one, I'll make some points here as usual. Number one, our songs should be about God. Our song should be about God. Now, of course, that's a very, if I could say this with reverence, that's a very broad subject because there's so much about him. He's just infinite. But our song should be about God. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. I know this is prophetic about the future. But the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. We ought to sing about the Lord. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 12. I want to show you a couple of verses in Isaiah. First one is in chapter 12. Isaiah chapter number 12 and verse number 2. Isaiah 12, 2 says this. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Notice that the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Number one, our song should be about God. These are the type of songs that will bring us joy, as it says in verse number 3. Sing about the Lord Jehovah. He's our strength and he is my song. Isaiah is saying, he is who I sing about. I sing about the Lord. Now, I thank God for all kinds of, you know, things, but did you know they did a study recently about Christian country music? I wrote it down in my office. I believe they found that 3 out of every 4 songs Christian country musicians are writing today are about heaven and not about the Lord. I thank God for heaven. I'm glad I'm going there. But our song ought to be about the Lord. It ought to be about the Lord. And then number 2, our song should be unto God. Not only should they be about God, but number 2, our song should be unto God. Our song should be unto God. See, a lot of people go through life saying, well, I just like this. It's my favorite kind of music. And they think music's all about them. That's not the message this morning. Music is not from that direction in. It's from this direction out. Unto God. Unto the Lord. It's supposed to be about God. It's supposed to be unto God. Look over at Isaiah 51 now. Isaiah 51. And boy, I'll tell you, with all that extra sleep we got, we ought to hear pages rustling and people putting all their energy into this today. We got a lot of strength this morning. Isaiah 51 and verse number 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? Notice the power of music there, singing. It says they shall come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy. So singing about the Lord and singing unto the Lord are a source of joy that you can use perpetually in your life. I missed a verse. I'm going to go back to it, so you just stay right here. Back in Isaiah 12, verse 5, I forgot to read this verse. It says, "Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things that is known in all the earth." It doesn't say sing unto yourself, or don't let music just be for yourself, but sing unto the Lord. Now, go to Ephesians 5 and verse 19. And I want to say, third of all, this morning, our song should edify others. Our song should edify others. So number one, our song should be about God. Number two, our song should be unto God, and we'll see that in this verse also. But number three, Ephesians 5:19 tells us our song should edify others. So again, the focus of our songs is not yet on ourselves. It's on God, and it's on others. Ephesians 5 and verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. If you've never done this before, underline the last three words, to the Lord. Again, that's point number two. Our song should be unto God. But we ought to sing to ourselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Now notice the origin. Singing and making melody with our CD players to the Lord. Verse 19. You see that there? Or with our televisions to the Lord. Or with our iPods to the Lord. Did you know that you can live without those things? Did you know that for about 1950 years, God's people lived without those things? Did you know that? They didn't need fabricated music to keep them going. They loved the Lord, and God, as the one psalmist said, God hath put a new song in my heart. Even praise. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. We're not close to God today. We're not having him put new songs in our heart. That word new means fresh. Fresh. A hymn is just a poem put to music. And see, that's why a lot of songs nowadays that are being fabricated aren't really songs, hymns, or spiritual songs. They don't fit the definition. They're just a lot of noise. There's a lot of chanting. It's a lot of incantations today. Now, you check it out. A lot of these praise and worship songs are just incantations. We call it 7-11 music. The same seven words sung 11 times. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's incantations. That's forbidden in the Bible. It's forbidden in the Bible. I've seen some of those praise and worship songs. They're not even doctrinally sound. They don't fit the doctrines of the Scriptures. Songs and hymns, you study out the definition. It's a poem put to music. And some of you are poets. Some of you can write poems. And others around here can write music. And we need to have some new songs. God has put a new song in my heart. It's supposed to be from our hearts to the Lord. It says right there, verse 19, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But the problem is verse 18. It says, be filled with the Spirit. There's not enough Spirit-filled people today. And that's why there's no songs in our hearts coming out of our lips to our God who is worthy. Turn over to Colossians 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Notice that. That's point three. Our song should edify others. Teaching and admonishing one another. And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So notice, in order to sing, you've got to have grace in your hearts, and you've got to have the word of Christ dwelling in you richly. This is why I object to some of these young groups going around of kids in their teens and 20s forming these rock bands, going around saying they're Christian artists. They don't know enough of the word at that age to be writing songs. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in your hearts richly. See, you've got to know the Bible before you can sing, write songs for God's people. It's got to dwell in your hearts richly. You've got to be full of the word of God if you can write God's songs. You've got to have not only the filling of the word of God, you've got to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then you've got to have grace, singing with grace. That's God's enablement. That's God's power. You can't be living an ungodly, carnal, fleshly, worldly life and have the grace of God on you. Why? He doesn't give it to people that live like that. Those are people who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, into the flesh, and into sold-out emotionalism. But our songs should give us joy. And they need to be sung with understanding. They need to be sung with understanding. It says over in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I don't know if you've ever studied hymnology, but most of the hymns in this book, or the older book, the red book, most of these books are songs in the night that were born in suffering and affliction. Some of these songs, these deep songs here, were written in the worst trials and valleys of people's lives who had the Word of God as an anchor of their soul, and they went through the death of loved ones and divorces and fires and persecution and affliction and imprisonment and so on and so forth. And it was from the depths and the wealth of that spirituality that God gave them a song in the night, and we sing these songs. See, that's why we love the old hymns around here and some of these new songs. I don't know, this song's full of songs by John W. Peterson, and I don't know if he's still alive or not. He may have just passed, but he was alive for a long time and walking with God and so on and so forth. I don't care what condition my spirit's in. I can turn to this right here. I can sing one verse. And by the end of it, I'll have joy. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart, shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling. He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. Listen to this. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I can sing that one verse. It's one of my favorites. And I'll have joy by the time I'm done singing it. I don't care what kind of a day I'm having. I don't care what bad news I just got. Praise God, there's some things Satan can't take away from us. And God has given us many who've walked before us, who've gone through afflictions and trials and written songs. It can bless our hearts. I'm talking about singing today. Singing today. Don't fall for the... I got to close today, but don't fall for what is called in Ecclesiastes 7, verses 5 and 6, the song of fools. The song of fools. You know, it talks about the song of fools in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5, and the next verse says it's like the crackling of a piece of wood under a pot or under a kettle. It doesn't last very long, does it? You know, a lot of music in this world today, I believe, has contributed to the depression that so many of our young people have and so many of our adults have. It gives them a little bit of a short-term jolt, kind of like drinking, makes you feel good for a while, and then makes you suffer for the whole next day. A little burst of happiness, but then it contributes to depression. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2, he says, I got me men singers, I got me men lady singers. He said, I got the best musicians money could buy in my day. And you read about that account in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 8 through 11. And you know what he talked about? The music of the world that he hired. He got the best music, and I believe Solomon, with the money and resources, he got the best music of his day that Hollywood could provide. And you know what he described it when it was over with? He said, it's all vanity. And it vexed my spirit. It depressed me. It depressed me. You go back to the 60s, the 50s and 60s and 70s when our country was steamrolled with this thing called rock and roll music. And you look at the emotional and mental maladies that climbed right along with that music, and they're parallel to each other. And then after it wrecked our country, the church decided in 1980 we need that in our churches. I mean, it did such a great job in the world, we need it in our churches now. And so they started having Kingdom Bound and all the CCM, contemporary Christian music, and so on and so forth. And now, like somebody told me recently, they didn't understand it. They go to church and they just feel great on Sunday, but they're depressed by Monday. Folks, you better categorize all the music you listen to in three areas. Number one, there's fleshly music. It's wicked. God hates it. It causes a person to live a carnal, world, fleshly life. But then number two, and here's where people struggle, there's emotional music. There's emotional music. Some of it's good, patriotic music. I love a good patriotic song. Makes me glad I'm an American. And there's some good emotional music. But the last is spiritual music. And emotional music goes like this. Emotional music can either take you into spiritual music, and that's okay. I mean, I can get emotional just singing some of these songs. That kind of emotion's okay. It doesn't hurt me none to cry. Thank God we're supposed to worship Him in spirit. That's emotions and in truth. But some emotions will take you right in the flesh. It's that second category you've got to be careful about. There's carnal music, which is always wrong. There's emotional music, which you better be very spiritually discerning about. And then there's spiritual music, and that's where we ought to just hang out. The music that strengthens our souls. Strengthens our souls. I want to review, number one, our song should be about God. Our song should be from our hearts to God, number two. Our song should edify, build up, and teach and admonish other people, not just entertain them or put them on some emotional fix or get them in the flesh. It should edify. That means build them up. And then number four, our songs should give us joy. They give us joy. What wonderful, wonderful songs that we have. I can still remember the day I was saved and they were singing. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Boy, that next line hit me like a ton of bricks. Bless my heart. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Praise God. I came to the cross that day. Got saved. 36 years later, that song still gives me joy. You see, we don't have enough hymns memorized. The old days, the old days, they used to say there's two books that ought to be in every home. God's Word and the old hymn book. You ought to buy a hymn book. get one in your home. You ought to sing the same songs over and over and over again, old songs. We've got new songs in here, the Red Book old songs. These things will help get you through some hard times. I don't want a bunch of gangster rap when I'm in my room when I'm in the hospital. It's not going to help me. It's just going to depress me. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. They got Christian so-called gangster rappers today. They came right from hell. Don't do that, man. Don't sing Jesus keep me near the cross when I'm on my deathbed or something. In the cross be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Boy, so many of our young people don't even know those songs today. They don't know the words. And as a result, one of the sources of joy has been taken from the next generation. Singing is a commandment. You know, it might do you well to just get yourself a hymn book and just start singing unto the Lord, making that joyful noise, bringing you joy. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'd like us to pray this. There's too much. Let's pray this sermon into our hearts now, and just feel free to come to the altar and say, "Dear God, help me the rest of my life to look at singing as a commandment. Singing is a commandment. Help me to be a singing man, a singing woman, a singing teenager. You teens, you know, just get in that teen choir and just sing. It doesn't matter if you can sing or not. Just sing. Just sing. We're not entertaining people around here. Just sing. Learn to sing. Sing in the shower. Sing in your car. Sing while you're cooking. Let's have some moms that when your kids leave the house, kids will always say, Mom was always singing. Mom was always singing. Dad was always singing. And the old timers used to sing while their babies were still in the womb. They'd be singing the old hymns, reading the scriptures to them. As the pianos begin to play a song of invitation, feel free to, if God has led by the Holy Spirit, to pray about this matter, to stand to your feet and step out to the aisle and come. Maybe you've been listening to too many CDs, too many tapes, iPods, radios, car radio. God joys over his children with singing. Singing gives God joy. Imagine that. Singing gives God joy. Singing will bring joy to us. He has put a new song in my heart, even praise. Do you sing? Do you sing? Well, what would somebody think about me? You missed the whole sermon today. You missed the whole sermon. It's not about others. I think God deserves every human being on earth to sing unto him. Have we been withholding from God something that he is worthy of? Have we been withholding praise, worship? When we don't sing, it's like when we don't give. We're withholding from God something that he is worthy of. Do you sing? I didn't say, do you have a great collection of CDs of Christian musicians? But could you today go home and throw all that out? Start singing to God from your heart. Is there a song in your heart? Does the word of Christ dwell in you richly? Does your family hear you singing? Do they hear you singing at work? Wow. What a testimony that would be. What a testimony that would be. Come, if you need to be saved, if you got anything else on your heart now, if you'd like to pray to God about, would you come and pray? Anything else on your heart? I can't believe somebody might not have something on your heart. Your broken heart today? Are you hurting today? Perhaps you have a physical infirmity. You'd want to ask the good Lord to heal. He said, my house shall be a house of prayer. you come, you got something physically, something emotionally. This might help. This might help. Singing. Oh, what power there is in singing unto the Lord. Perhaps mental. Maybe it's a neat, sound mind. Oh, many needs. You want somebody to pray with you. If you come and stand here, I'll have someone pray with you about it. Whatever's on your heart. You have a broken heart today? The Bible talks about a broken heart. Talks about a wounded spirit. Maybe you've been offended or slighted. You just can't get over it. Just come and leave it at the cross today. Come, how about you? You're here, you're not saved. Won't you come and let somebody show you from the Bible God's promises so you can pray and ask Christ to be your Savior and have eternal life? Won't you come? If you need baptism, church membership, I will remain after service as long as I have to. Please talk to me. Don't put that decision off. Let's pray. Our Father, we do give you thanks so much for so many sources of joy, and yet some choose to remain depressed. And Lord, there's such deliverance, but we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. Make us a singing people. Not just have singers in the church, but singing in the car, singing at home, singing in the shower, and just singing, Lord, everywhere we go. Thank you, O God, for the power of songs. Lord, thank you for all the authors of these songs and those that are writing good ones today, edifying our hearts. Lord, I pray we'd leave the church remembering that singing is a commandment. It's not some calling that's given. Just like prayer is not a calling. It's a commandment for everybody, although some may pray better than others. So singing is a commandment. You told us 7 times, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Help us to confess this morning our disobedience. And Lord, help us to learn the old hymns and some of the new hymns and get the words memorized. Get some of the psalms memorized. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.